How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? There's so much fear and stigma and stress around communication. Whereas for me, communication is sending a video message to somebody that you really love spending time with. It's ordering food at a restaurant and making the waiter for once in that shift feel really happy. It's about making new friends, about raising our families and our children. And once we realize that, we get a lot more motivated to practice all of this.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into those fun hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? That's a profound question. And we talk today with Brennan Kurasamy. I've known Brennan for a long time. We met at a personal development conference years ago, and he is a master communicator. And I can't say this enough. Go to his channel, Master Talk, and I'll put a link on it. You'll get so much free and wise advice from Brennan. And this episode, he frames like why is it so important to be a good communicator? And I touch on relevant to our topics on Happy Brain. Mental health wise, what does it do for you to be a happy communicator, a good communicator? And how can that help your own mental wellness? So enjoy this episode. If you're watching this in or watching or listening to this in when it's released, Happy New Year 2023. And thank you so much, Happy Brain family, for being such a great part of my year as I took over the show just 6 months ago. Happy New Year, and let's enjoy the show. Welcome back. We're with Brendan here on Happy Brain, and I'm so excited to have you. And first, I just want to acknowledge you for a second. We talk a lot of this show about getting involved in different things like online communities, maybe even taking a venture to go to a conference, things to improve yourself, to better yourself. Well, in the online communities I'm a part of, Brendan, you always are there answering questions. You're always helping people. You're always serving people. People have questions on this and that, and you just jump right in. Great, give some good advice and share a lot. And I just want to acknowledge you for that, because that really, to me, shows that you really care about what you're talking about.
Oh, thanks, Sean. I really appreciate it. And the feeling's mutual, man. Super grateful that Heather connected us all those years ago. And it's great to be on the show as well.
So today we want to talk a little bit about setting boundaries and using communication skills to set boundaries. What is some of the lessons you learned early on, and how important learning these skills were in your relationships, in your work relationships and other relationships, to help you learn that boundaries were even important?
Absolutely, Sean. And just to set the frame, you know, the way that we're defining relationships in this conversation is really any relationship. So it'll work just as well with family members as it does with coworkers, as it does with romantic partners, except the frame will change slightly. And yes, I've been really fortunate that the people in my life I rarely argue with. And I always like to say I live with my mom and my sister, the Lily upstairs, and I have not argued with them in over 10 years. There hasn't been one situation where we yelled at each other. And I believe the reason for that is because of our ability to communicate specific boundaries. Because if we're not able to do that, we're not going to get our needs met. So sure, if we're a people pleaser or someone of that nature, it might work short term. But long term, it'll end up burning us out and create a lot of resentment for the people around us and ourselves.
So what are some steps that we can take to even learn to better communicate these boundaries?
Absolutely. So let's start with step one, which is the art of specificity. Everything is in the details, Sean. So what I mean by this, a lot of the times in relationships, what you'll hear of any size is, I need more alone time. What does more alone time mean? Does that mean you want to live in a basement where nobody bothers you or texts you for 6 months? Does that mean you actually just need 45 minutes in the morning to read a book or to listen to a podcast? Does that mean you want to go into a forest for 2 weeks and go hunting where nobody bothers you? So the definition of alone time, notice how that one sentence, Sean, can be interpreted in 100 different ways. And that's why the biggest problem with relationships all the time is generally miscommunication. It's never that one person is wrong or right. It's that what was understood is wrong or not interpreted in the right way. So the first step to setting boundaries is to pick the most open-minded person in your network. Always start with the easy wins, the person that you get along with, and practice writing down very, very specific boundaries. So what does a specific boundary sound like? Something like this: I need 45 minutes every morning to read a book because of why? Because it helps soothe my mind and allows me to show up my best self for everyone around me that day. So would it be possible? How can we make this work? So notice how that's a lot more specific as an example.
I love it. I love it. Now, also in addition to that, so as you're building this out, now one of the things I want to mention to you too is you work with when a lot of public speaking on big stages, on helping people with big speeches and things like that, but really it's communication about any level, any size. And we're talking when one-on-one relationship. So in your training, as you're teaching people about boundaries, you work with people on all levels, right? From public speaking down to communication on a one-on-one level, right? And that's what we're talking about right now.
Exactly, Sean, 1,000%. For me, communication and public speaking, actually the same definition, because most of my clients are executives in the corporate, and some of them, to your point, are also people who are on bigger stages. But for me, my definition of communication is simply this: how do we convey an idea in a way that achieves a specific outcome for a specific audience? But that can mean a thousand different things. It's not just about being on a stage. It's also how do we convince our wife or a significant other or husband or boyfriend that we should have Mexican food tonight and not Chinese food? So that's communication too, because we're trying to convey an idea in a way that achieves a specific outcome, which is getting the Chinese food for a specific audience, even if it's an audience of one.
So getting back to your steps, so the first step is, picking somebody to practice with. And really physically writing down your boundary, your set. Now, the next step, right, is how do you communicate that to them?
Absolutely. So the second step in boundary setting, Sean, is the idea of a ranking. So what does that mean? So in the first step, I want people to write out 10, 15 boundaries, because especially if it's the first time you're doing this, you're going to struggle a little bit. So it's more about taking that action, because uncomfortable is sometimes, oh, I don't want to set boundaries. So just write a bunch of them. And then what you do in step two is you pick the easiest person to work with. So you don't go to the person you have a terrible relationship with. That is not the way to practice boundaries. And honestly, it's not fun either. So I wouldn't recommend that. So it's the easiest person, and that easiest person could be a best friend. It could be a sister. You already know who that is in your mind as you're thinking about, as you're listening to this podcast. But then there's the other piece that people make the mistake of, Sean. Also pick the easiest boundary. So I don't want people to go to, hey, could I be in Puerto Rico 4 months out of the year? No. Let's not start. You can ask that, but don't start there. Start with something really, really easy, like the 30 minutes in the morning. Like, if somebody doesn't respect that boundary, I think we have a problem with this relationship. Like, there's something off. So start with the easy step first and communicate that. So look at all of your list of boundaries and just write a number next to them in order of difficulty of how this is going to get done, and just start with the easiest one first and communicate that boundary.
So let's put this in practical use. Let's say you're working with your boss or your manager or something like that at work, or you're working with an employee and there's just something that you want to communicate. So maybe you find the easiest boundary or the easiest thing that you really need from them, and then start with them like, hey, could you email me once a week to just loop me in on this particular project or whatever it is. I need you to do that for me. Is that an easy thing to start with?
I love that angle completely. There would be one step before this. So it's like step two. I would say step one is more start with the relationships you really don't want to lose.
Got
And
it.
it's generally not work related.
Got
So
it.
I wouldn't start with work per
Okay.
se. Like, for example, let's say me and you were friends for 10 years, even if it feels like we've been friends for a long time, honestly. Like, when I met you in person, it didn't feel like it was the first time I met you. But let's say we were friends for 10 years. You're a great person to start with,
Got it.
because we've been friends for a long time, so it's easy for us to practice, and you're a relationship I care about maintaining, because incentive is really important. So I would start with a sister, with a best friend.
Okay.
And then because it's still fun and we care about it. Like I care about the relationship with my mother, so I'm gonna figure this out with my mom. My boss, I could always leave my job. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
And then when we master that, then we can apply that languaging to work and the other settings. Absolutely.
Okay, so we've picked the person. We've picked the easiest thing. Now, how do we actually share that with them?
Absolutely. So since it's somebody very open-minded, Sean, it actually becomes not that hard to share, where you just be upfront with them. Hey, I'm actually trying to practice my boundaries. Can we have a conversation around this? And then that person might ask you, what is a boundary in some cases? And then you'll explain it to them. You'll educate them. Maybe you'll send them this the episode of this podcast. Hey, this is what I'm trying to practice. And the person, remember, we're picking the easiest person. So from our discussion right now, it should be really easy for that person to say yes. But now the other piece, which is really important, is the frame of energy and how we're approaching that boundary, specifically in our tone. So there's a big difference between A, which is, I need mirror alone time because it's important to me. I need 30 minutes in the morning, Sean, and I really appreciate it if you could do this for me. So it's a very aggressive tone versus, hey, Sean, I've been really stressed out lately because of work. And I know we spend a lot of time together. We get on a call every morning, but is it okay if I spend 30 minutes every morning just for myself? Because I would love that alone time with the book, just so I can get clear my head out, enjoy the rest of my day, so I can bring my full self to you. So notice the difference there was also I changed a couple of words, but the tonality was completely different. So when you listen to that, you don't want to say, oh, hell no. You're going to say, yes, absolutely. I want to respect that boundary.
Right. Well, you're reflecting how you're truly feeling. You're actually sharing what's going on with you in a kind of an authentic way. So it should come out better instead of, demanding. But yeah, no, that's really powerful. That's powerful. All right. So you start with the easy one. You start to communicate with them. Where do you go from there? Do you celebrate that? Do you check in? How do you go from there?
Ah, there you go. So this is why you're the host of Happy Brain, Sean. You're absolutely right. So the final part, and this is where the ball gets missed. Celebrate the respect behind the boundary. So let's say me and you are buddies, like we are, but let's say for 10 years, and I say this 30-minute piece that I would like. You go, yeah, absolutely. Let's say we're roommates or something. So you give me that 30 minutes. The mistake that most people make is we just move forward to the next one. That's the mistake. What you need to do is you need to say, hey, Sean, I really appreciate you taking the time to respect the boundary. It really means a lot to me. What's a boundary I can respect for you? So now you give. So you don't go to your next boundary. You go, hey, Sean, now I want you to give me a boundary that I can respect for you. So this is what we call a reciprocal relationship, right? It's a two-way street. So it's not just about me getting everything I want. It's about going, hey, I really appreciate it. What's one boundary I could do for you? And that's what creates the depthness. And you know what this does? It makes the person 10 times more likely to say yes to your next boundary because now you're building that reciprocal relationship. And that's the relationship I have with literally everybody in my network. It's, hey, you're respecting one boundary? Okay, like, sure. What can I do for you? And they go, whoa. And that relationship builds up over time, and that's how you build the foundation blocks.
No, that's powerful. And I wasn't even thinking, I was thinking celebrate yourself and feel good about yourself. But circling back to what we started with, one of the things I really respect about you is you're always giving. You're always giving. But you do respect, you expect, people respect your time, your boundaries too. But the giving part is such an important part. So we've worked through our easy part. We're getting a little more confident, Brendan. And we're thinking we're stepping up a little bit bigger. And maybe we've got, let's say you've worked on this for a while and now you have a bigger challenge. Maybe work or maybe a difficult business relationship or something like that. How do you go and up your game and take it to that next level with boundary setting?
Absolutely. So great frame. So here's what I would say. Of course, there's no silver bullet, right? There's no one technique that I'll give today that will knock out the harder conversations because they're a lot more complicated, they're a lot more intrinsic. So here's what I would say. The first piece is whenever you jump into a hard conversation, we need to acknowledge that oftentimes those hard conversations are with people we care about. Especially if they're a business partner, they're a significant other. There might be an exception with the boss, but in that case, we can plug out and work somewhere else. So it's not the end of the world. But most of the time, it's somebody we care about. So I always, and I'm not always perfect on this either, but I always start hard conversations with gratitude. So gratitude for having you in my life. Hey, I'm super grateful for you, Sean. Just want to bring up something. That's one piece. The second piece is what we already share in common behind that boundary. So let's bring out what we agree with. Let me give you a simple one. That's really difficult. If let's say you're in a long distance relationship with a romantic partner and one lives in a different country than you, and you're figuring out which country to live in, that's a tough conversation. That's not easy, right? Where you're trying to figure out, okay, do we move to the US or do we go to Australia? It's like a really big deal because the person who moves pretty much leaves their entire family behind. So that's a much harder conversation. So going back to the tonality, the nuance is really important, but I would say the only draw is you need to maintain that for longer periods of time. So with an easy boundary, it's like a 5 minute conversation. Hey dude, like I need 30 minutes in the morning. You're like, whatever, like who cares? It's not a big deal. I'll thank you for it. It'll be easy. But if it's a harder boundary, there's a lot more back and forth in that conversation. So the most important one is to maintain your composure for a long period of time and not let the emotions get in the way, or else the whole conversation will derail entirely. And if necessary, bring a therapist or a mediator if it's really, really extreme. But I think most of them can be handled just with both people.
Well, that's great. And as far as this helping your mental health and your well-being, or even making your brain happier, is it just giving you the confidence and skills and practice to be able to have these communications, have these conversations, things like that?
Yeah, the way that I see this, Sean, I'm glad you asked that question, is definitely the relationship, in my opinion, between communication and mental health is multifold. So one of them is definitely the boundaries, the practical insight that we can take away from this podcast and say, I can apply this tomorrow and get results. But the other piece is why I believe communication plays a big part in mental health in general. And the reason is because it helps us improve the relationship we have with other people and ourselves. So, for example, if we're able to write out hard questions about how we want to live our life and we're communicating those answers to ourselves, that improves our mental health because it gives us higher clarity on what we want to do, regardless of the opinions of other people. So, this is why I always say communication is about leading a more fulfilling life. And that's why I encourage people to answer this question: how would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? There's so much fear and stigma and stress around communication. Whereas for me, communication is sending a video message to somebody that you really love spending time with. It's ordering food at a restaurant and making the waiter for once in that shift feel really happy. It's about making new friends, about raising our families and our children. And once we realize that, we get a lot more motivated to practice all of this.
And those are important skills. We talk about gratitude. We talk about ways of, I mentioned before, I think we were talking, I made a happy list of things that you can do. Literally write down a list if you're not feeling well and just start going down the list and doing them until you feel better. And one of them is actually reaching out to somebody you care about and saying, hey, just thinking about you, just want to shout out and say hello or whatever. That communication skills. I think for people who maybe, for anybody, but especially with people with mental health struggles too, having those skills, because it's really, really hard to ask for things that you need and want. So we're talking even at a more basic level, like maybe even, you need really somebody to now that to support you or help you. So those skills and having that ability is so important, and building these skills and this skill set is so important. So I just want to thank you so much for sharing that. It's not just for business relationships, which is great, and your personal and things like that. It's just also your own daily existence,
Yeah, literally.
for sure. And I know that one of the things that you do is obviously teach people how to be these amazing communicators. Is there anything else that you wanted to share you think is valuable for us in terms of communication, mental health, et cetera?
For sure. I would say there's two parts. One is more of a mental frame, and the other one is a tip. So the first one is the mental frame, which is the way we've talked about this conversation, Sean. I really want to make sure people leave this conversation having fun with communication. Because when we think of boundaries, I found in my expertise, but feel free to disagree with me, I always find that whenever that word comes up, we always think around, oh my God, how am I supposed to set boundaries? It's going to be really hard. What if my wife doesn't want to move to Africa? Wait, wait, wait a second. Like, we don't need to start there. Like, what about like Chinese food on Tuesdays? Because you really love Chinese food. And that key is what builds up the relationship. And that's what happened with me and my mom. You know, we used to fight all the time, Sean, when I was younger, because we came from really different cultural backgrounds. Like, she grew up in a civil war in a third world country. I grew up in a cushy first world country. So we always butted heads. Until I sat down once and I just said, hey, I really care about this relationship, which actually comes into the tip. I call this relationship visioning. Think about the relationship you have with your friends and your family. But what most people don't do, Sean, is they don't think about what do you want that relationship to be like in the future. Do you want it to stay that way? Do you want there to always be animosity? Or do you want to dream about a more healthier vision? So I did that with my mom. So I was able to bring those conversations up because I wanted that relationship vision. And I encourage people to do the same with theirs.
Great. And you said you had a tip for that relating to that?
Absolutely. So this is more for the boundary. So the relationship visioning is just what do I want the relationship with my mother to look like? And just freestyle for 2 minutes. Oh, I want this. I want it to be loving. I don't want us to fight all the time. And then we create the steps to make this happen. In terms of boundary setting, for those of you listening to this podcast who are really introverted, really shy, and are scared, even with the easy boundaries, the other exercise I would add on top of that as a layer is called the question drill. So we get asked questions all the time in our life, on a podcast, on a show, at school, at work, but most of us are reactive to those questions. So when we get asked it, we get stressed. Oh no, I don't know what the answer is. And that creates emotion. So there's actually an easy way around this. Pick the easiest boundary that you're going to share with your partner or your friend. And then what I want you to do is write out 25 to 50 questions that you think they're going to ask you in relation to that boundary and start answering them in advance so that if you really want to go that far, so that when you enter that conversation, you'll have a lot less anxiety.
It's beautiful, man. I really appreciate that one. That's a really good one. Now, one of the things that you do is you like to give, and one of the things you have, I know Rockstar Communicator, is that one of your training sessions? Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because that is another way to learn.
Absolutely, Sean. So there's two ways to keep in touch. The first one is definitely rockstarcommunicator.com. I do a free workshop on communication over Zoom every 2 weeks. This is not like a boring webinar. It's live, it's interactive, and I'm facilitating that. So if you want to jump in, you could register there. And the second way to keep in touch is, of course, the YouTube channel by typing Master Talk in the search engine.
That's awesome. Anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
I think the last piece is a lot of people, Sean, when I say, how would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? They listen to the question, but they don't really take the time to answer it. So I encourage people listening to this, spend 15 minutes today as you're listening to this episode and just say, how would my life change? Because I've always believed, Sean, that the biggest challenge in communication actually isn't fear. I think it's number two. I think number one is motivation. Because we're not motivated enough to do it, so we're not willing to push through the fear. So I'd encourage people to find that motivation. Because if your motivation is to have a better relationship with your mother, and that's a relationship you care about, you'll definitely implement everything that we talked about today and then some. So I encourage people to reflect on that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.